The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight. Whoop! Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, media day, conference calls with the opponents, the head coach, and whoever they decide to have talk to the local media here. Tom Brady had a press conference this morning. Bill Belichick had his press conference this morning. So it's a big day, and then we'll have food.
I hope we have food.
And that's all that
matters.
I got
Kevin on that.
Yeah. Paul's here. Andy's not because he had a sick kid at home, so he had to stay home. Eric will be here as soon as he gets off the practice field with the report, which usually we know the news before he even gets here. So,
oh, that's true. I could probably check that out.
That's all right. We'll pretend we don't and let
with
Eric,
bated breath.
Yeah, we'll let Eric have his little time to shine.
No one needs more time to shine than Eric.
Yeah, it's too bad though that Andy's not here because you know who else are we going to have on the show that takes about every side that you can take? He goes back and forth like a ping pong match. It's unbelievable. You know, one minute he's saying one thing, then the next minute he's saying another.
It really is.
I was reviewing yesterday's show, and he's unbelievable.
Like you
can't pin him down.
You always try to tie me up in knots with my semantics, but he just changes his opinion.
Right. Right.
And then seems to forget that he just said something 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
But I think he legitimately doesn't even remember.
No, I think he's one of those people that, you know, when it's time to vote, like, you know, real voting, he gets to he doesn't even know who he's going to vote for right up until the point that he pulls the lever.
Doesn't have a strong view.
He has no idea. Whoever says the last thing that he agrees with, then that's who gets the vote. Anyway, so he's not here. But we have a lot to talk about. I mean, Patriots Nation is just in a tizzy right now. It's almost like a civil war that's going on. It's nothing short of a civil war within Patriots Nation. I think, you know, you have and I don't think it's just two sides. I think it's several sides. I think you have some people who, you know, like everything's going to be fine. They're going to get this thing worked out. Then there's some people that, you know, it's Brady. Then I think most of the people think it's the offensive line. Then you have other people that think it's equally distributed among all those people. You know, it's just everyone's fighting with each other. And, you know, the team's 2-1.
Yeah, I wish that people would stop focusing just specifically on the record after three games. I mean, much like we say that they're going to get better right. in terms of offense and defense, I mean, can we eliminate 2-1
but
as
wouldn't,
being...
wouldn't it be a hell of a lot different if it was 0-3? And having played three, you know,
of course
who we think
be.
Are going to be bad teams, if they had lost those games, wouldn't it be a lot different, this conversation?
Of course it would be, yeah. But my point is... Let's not just take the fact that they won the games and ignore everything else.
No, I know, but
that's
it's not the
that's
end of
what
the world.
You know, part of the Civil War
right.
has been that. Well, they're 2-1. They won 12 games last year.
Well, that's,
they went to the AFC Championship game. They weren't good.
That's another side of it. You know, I mean, it's worse than Syria right now here at Patriots Nation.
We don't have to make it into a real-life thing. It's just football.
I know, and that's part of it. It's just football. But people are really...
Yes,
angry.
It would be a hell of a lot worse if they were to have lost the game on Sunday. No doubt about it. But because of who you played, you know, if they had played, you know, Denver on Sunday and lost, yeah, we would all be disappointed. But it wouldn't necessarily be the end of the world.
Again, it depends on how they lost. And I think that, you know, I listen to the radio and I'm reading things, and so many people are just taking stats. Well, after three games, you know, here are the stats.
Such a tiny little sample.
Right. It's, you can't go by anything you've seen, partly because of the competition, partly because of what other teams in their competition. So, you know, you're looking at these league stats, and it's in three games, that sample is too small. Things can get skewed. One game can skew all the stats for a team. So right now, you have to go by eyeball. You have to go by what you've seen and not what the stats are telling
you. And by the way, both ways.
Right.
A good game, like one really good game, can make you look better than
right,
you are
right.
after a small sample.
You have to go by
the
eyeball.
I think the Patriots' run defense has been pretty damn good the first 3 weeks. But they had one really bad one. The other two games, they were dominant.
Right.
I think that's more like what they are.
Right.
I mean, Andy has some concerns about the run defense. I really don't.
But even then,
but they had one really bad game. So statistically, they're not lights out against the run, because one game they allowed almost 200 yards.
Right. So, and you have to take all of that into consideration right now. It's just too early to make, you know, definitive statements about this is who this team is. Any team in the NFL.
Yeah, and especially I think with the Patriots, because we've seen so many times, and this is my one caveat that I kept giving you yesterday, we've seen so many times that they're not necessarily playing their best football in September. You know, they sort of grind it out, and by the time you get to the second half of the season, they're generally ramping it up and playing better. I would expect that. Now, I brought up that hypothetical to you yesterday. Would you feel the same if you didn't know any of the history and you just went off of what you saw? No, you'd probably feel a lot worse.
Right.
But because of what we see, and I feel
because
the same
of what
way.
We know.
I feel the same. No, in the past,
right?
We don't know what's going to happen.
No, but what we know,
in the past, they've played better. And I'm with you. I feel like they will play better. That's why I, like Andy, sort of laughed at me yesterday when I said I still feel like they'll go 12-4, because I feel like teams like Oakland, no matter how bad the Patriots are playing, they're going to find a way to win that game.
Well, think about Andy. He's down to like 9-7 now.
Yeah, 10-6, he says now.
If they go to Kansas City and win 40-7, he'll be back to 12-4. That's his thing, you know?
Well, he does ride that emotional roller coaster.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and I do too. Like, I'm not trying to say that I'm not emotional. I mean, that's probably my biggest thing too.
But I'm not.
But I just feel like no matter what happens against certain teams, they're just not going to beat the Patriots. They're not...
Well,
they're not well coached enough. They're not skilled enough.
But
Oakland was not going to win that game.
Yeah.
And there's Oakland is the worst, but there are other teams coming up that aren't that much different. I mean, it took 3 weeks to get the division in disarray.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, 3 weeks.
Oh, you mean back to where it should be?
Back to where, I mean, everybody was all excited. Oh, the Patriots 0-1. Everybody else is 1-0. 3 weeks in, now the Patriots are 2-1. There's only one other team that's 2-1.
Yeah,
Buffalo, the worst of the four.
Right. So things will settle itself out. But right now, look, the Patriots have problems though. You know, having said all that, and it's too early to
say, you can't ignore them.
You can't ignore them. The Patriots have some issues, and they're issues that, while the offense has started slowly in the past, when it comes to the offensive line, it wasn't this bad.
No, you know, and
they had
the
problems
comment,
last year.
I made the comment they were sacked seven times through the first three games last year and this year. I don't care just the strict sack totals. It's been much, much worse.
Well, in one of those
this year, that he's been under much more pressure.
Yeah. And, you know, the game that I fear the most, well, this game coming up, and they have some pretty good edge rushers in Kansas City. But that game I fear the most is the Bengals. Because they've done it before.
I don't think
with that personnel.
Yeah, well, the thing that worries me more about the Bengals is I think they have a good defense as opposed to a good pass rush. I think Kansas City has a couple of good pass rushes. I don't think they have a very good defense.
Yeah.
You know, certainly since that point where they started off last year 9-0, and I believe they're something like 3-8 since then.
Yeah.
Their defense has been abysmal since then. It kind of got exposed. It's gotten beaten up a little bit. It certainly took a huge hit to start off this year by losing Mike DeVito in the middle and losing Derek Johnson on the – that's the heart of your defense there that you've lost. Now, they still have – you're right. Justin Houston, Tamba Ali, good solid edge rushes. Bill had a good stat this morning talking about all the sacks. I forget the exact numbers, but I think it's something like in the games that they won last year, they had – 40-some-odd
games they won.
In the games they won, and that number dropped to next to nothing in the games that they lost.
Right.
So
they're all about getting to the pass.
They don't get to the passer, they're not going to stop you. I mean, you saw it with what Andrew Luck did in that playoff game when all they had to do was pass, and they just dropped back and threw it every down, and they couldn't stop it.
Yep. It was interesting today, Tom Brady's press conference. He was there a little late. And then very brief, it seemed like he almost cut it off himself early and wasn't in the greatest of moods. There was a Facebook question that, you know, elicited some smiles and kidding around. But for the most part, it was almost like he anticipated, you know, getting some heat in the press conference or at least getting questions that he didn't want to answer and got the hell out of there before more of them could be asked.
Yeah, and did you hear? Were you listening?
I watched it on Patriots.com.
Because I know you were upstairs. Yeah. There was, and I should probably look this up so I can get I want to get the whole quote before I talk about it. But there was one thing that I thought was a little interesting, and I tweeted it about him saying, you know, typically, you know, the more time you have, the better decisions that you can make.
Right.
I didn't necessarily take it as a huge shot.
But isn't that
just the offensive was? It's fact.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, for guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, you can say facts and get yourself in trouble when you're that high profile. It almost looks like, remember when Manning got in trouble?
The offensive line.
And he didn't really, he answered about 57 questions about how the offense didn't get the job done that day. And he had something that was vaguely sort, look, I think we all saw what happens. I think we all noticed that we had some protection issues today.
Right.
And he got skewered
blistered, throwing his line under the bus.
Right, and I don't think he was throwing his line under the bus. I don't think Tom was throwing his line under the bus today either, but I think some people took it that way. So I want to find that. You can talk about it for a second, but I just want to get that.
Yeah, I just thought you know, he was a little bit more brief than he usually is with his Wednesday press conference.
He definitely was.
And, you know, people asked the question. It's funny because we were taping our show yesterday, and one of the questions that came into AskPFW@Patriots.com was, you know, do these players and coaches hear this stuff, and do you think it ever affects them negatively? They hear it. Whether or not it affects them negatively, you know, that's another question. But
it's easy to say they hear it. But like guys like Belichick and Brady, it doesn't affect
them.
But there's young guys in that locker room that are wondering, why are they picking on me?
Listen, we came out with PFW on Monday, and we had the picture of Will Fork on the cover, Wilfork Island, with the interception. Got a call yesterday. Could we get 55 copies of the paper to PR? Because he wanted them.
Wow.
So don't tell me that these players and coaches don't hear this stuff. Of course they do. Whether or not it affects
them
negatively.
I'll chat them up about
it. Oh, yeah. Whether or not it affects them negatively, that depends on the environment of the team. I think some teams, it affects them a lot more than others. But we all know that the Patriots use anything they can find as motivation, bulletin board fodder. So we know that Tom Brady and the offensive line and everyone else in the offense is hearing this stuff. Now, what are they going to do with it? My belief is that they use it for motivation. And I think that, you know, talent will be the ultimate decider of whether they can improve. But I think they're going to use this as, you know, we'll show those MFers, whoever those MFers are, us, the fans, media in general, you know, it's a big check mark for them that, you know, they're going to go in with a chip on their shoulder to prove us all wrong. And even those of, you know, those are the people like me are probably lumped in there, even though I think they're going to do it. Look, I think they have problems right now, but even that is a slight.
Yeah, but I don't think that you can just use it as motivation, depending on who you are. I think a guy like Tom Brady can, because, you know, the great ones, they find the doubters.
Right.
Even though no one's really doubting them, they find the doubters. Pedro did it, you know. And you can do that, but... You know, I'm sorry, but Jordan Devey can't do that.
No.
You know,
he
he's
can't,
not but, using it as.
But as a whole, that offensive line in their meetings are probably like, we need to do, you know, I'm sure that as a collective, they are using all this talk as motivation. You know, they're hearing it. They have to. You know, they go home and they put on the TV and they put on the radio and they can't help but hear it. So I'm guessing that. This is a big source of motivation for the whole team this week. And I don't know the line yet for Kansas City, but, you know.
I didn't check that.
We'll see what that comes out to be.
Okay, I want to read. This is the question was, it seemed like you only got to your second or third reads once or twice in last week's game. Is the clock in your head accelerated because you feel like you might not have time? And here's how Tom answered it. I think there are different parts of the game where you do that as a quarterback. Typically, the longer you have to throw, the better decision you'll be able to make. I've said the best teams are typically the ones that can rush the fewest amount of people and get the same amount of pressure because they can get help in coverage. If a team has to pressure, this is a typo in the transcript. If the team has to use more guys in pressure was what he said, remembering that this quote. That's less in coverage.
It takes away from coverage. Sure.
Okay. I don't necessarily think that's a shot at the offensive line.
How can it be?
But
of course it isn't.
He is saying, you know, typically the longer you have to throw, the better decisions you can make. So don't blame me for making bad decisions because I don't have enough time to throw.
Well,
you could definitely read it that way. I don't think, as I said, sitting there, I don't think he, and Eric just walked in too, and Eric was right next to me when he said it. I don't think that he meant it as any kind of a disrespectful shot to his offensive line.
I think it's just a statement of fact.
I tweeted out
that. Is somebody saying that he did?
I tweeted out that quote, and a lot of people have sort of taken it that way.
Yeah.
Are you taking it that way?
I did not.
No. Are you?
No. I didn't.
No, I'm what we started off the show by saying there's a civil war going on in Patriots Nation. Is that for us?
I brought a few extras, but I think Kevin went
Kevin,
to
I think
them
Kevin,
all,
I think let him eat his lunch. Yeah. You'll get some more.
No,
I brought a bunch, so if you want
to looking to see what lunch was.
Oh,
that's
okay.
All.
There's actually a new one on
Kevin
the
Kevin said he was going.
Not baked potato.
What's home fries?
The potato with all the works on it. What do you call that?
Oh, a stuffed potato. What do they call it? Stuffed baked potato.
Potato skin. Potato skin pizza. They have that out there.
Oh.
But the last one they had in the box was like a really burnt one, so I hope there's another box there.
Okay.
What do we have at practice?
Silver Seelinga, who hurt his foot against the Raiders.
Correct.
And left and was
now
never
he
seen
his
again.
Foot.
To be seen again.
Yeah, so he's got a hand and a foot that he's been dealing with. So he was the only one not there.
Okay.
Everybody else...
Collins?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone else present and accounted for. Did you think it was funny that Tom Curran asked Tom Brady, very start of the press conference today, are you dealing with some sickness? Was there a report that he was dealing with a sickness?
Oh, no.
He sounded like he first he had the winter hat on.
Right.
And he got
does,
up and
he had a little
and
frog
and
in
went,
his voice
yeah,
when
he kind of
started.
Went,
yeah.
And he kind of sniffed as if. I got the same impression.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brady's...
Me too.
Brady's not
did you?
Feeling
yeah.
great.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally missed that. I've seen him miss wear the winter hat plenty of times.
Usually not in September.
Usually not in September.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if there was something
as he
I
took the podium, it kind of sounded like he was dealing with something.
Yeah, it did. It lay a little frog in his voice.
All right.
But it's interesting that Curran did start that out because I guess he wrote an article... this morning, or wrote it yesterday, or whatever, defending Brady. Went play by play, showing that it's not Brady.
Of course not.
Of course not.
It never is.
You're not buying it.
I didn't.
Have you read the article?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I read what he. I heard Jerry Callahan passionately using it as his defense today.
Right.
So I have an idea of what he wrote. Yeah. I watched all the plays. It's not Brady's fault.
Okay.
Right. He doesn't have enough time. Neither does anybody else.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I watched Nick Foles get the absolute crap kicked out of him last week, and he somehow threw for like 350 yards and put up 37 points against Washington. Every single play I watch replays of, he was picking himself off the ground.
And
so
there are plenty of didn't they do the stopwatch thing on Peyton last year with like 2 point something seconds he was getting the ball out?
And that's general, and that's what Brady did against Minnesota. Like, a lot of people thought that the protection issues were much better against Minnesota. I didn't. I thought the game plan was entirely different and got the ball out. They didn't throw hardly at all.
Right.
And for the amount of times that he did throw, I thought he was under, you know, he got sacked once, got really hurried on the touchdown throw. He got buried by Chad Greenway.
Right. Yeah.
I thought for the amount of times, only throwing the ball 20 times, I thought he got pressured a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
Now, it's much more glaring the other two games when you threw it 60 times against Miami and another 35 or whatever against Oakland. It was much more glaring.
Good job, Kevin. When the injury report comes out this afternoon. Oh, actually, I don't think we'll get an injury report this afternoon.
I don't think we will either.
Because it's a Monday night game.
Right.
They only issue three a week, and on a Monday night, usually it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday that we get them. But
very good job, Kevin, by the way. Brought pizza from CBS Scene.
When the injury report does come out, I'll be curious to see if Brady is listed with anything in the rib area based on that shot that he took from Justin Tuck late in the game, where you remember the play I'm referencing, right? And he got hit right in the side, got drilled to the ground, got up and was sort of like leaning, keeled over. Couldn't tell if he was like, you know, short of breath or if he actually hurt something. Then the next play, he throws a really bad incompletion into the ground.
Right. Grabbed his helmet and
keels
bent
over again, almost as if to say, like, oh, woe was me, I threw it.
Right.
You know, but I kind of think it was, I kind of took it as that, like, it was still smarting from the hit that he took. I'll be curious to see if he's listed at all with anything this week.
And that was the hit that, after the game, Justin Tuck said, Tom went up to him and said, you really got me on that one. So we'll see.
It's curious.
I kind of like the way Eric characterized that, though. You got a future in the declining performance business. he kind of looked like the woe is me. I like that. No, but that was a telling sequence there. And I think, in all seriousness, I think you're right about the Tuck thing. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah,
Tuck said that.
Oh, I thought you told me that.
No, I didn't tell you that.
No, somebody told me that after the game he went up to Tuck and said, "Hey, you really got me there."
I hadn't heard that, but
that was a shot.
He definitely felt that. He definitely felt the one from Mac, the blind side that caused the incompletion down. Toward the sideline.
He never saw that one coming.
Those are the ones. Those are the ones that really hurt too. When you don't know when you're going to get hit, your body's not braced for contact.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you're not braced, you're more loose. And you actually have more give, if you will. And when you're braced, sometimes it hurts even more. But anyway, another thing, you know, we get to the offensive line, and everyone agrees that it needs to improve. I noticed that the rest of the media is now with me that Stork should probably play
start
center.
On Sunday.
Yeah. So, what's so funny, Paul? I figured I'd get a rise out of Paul with that one.
They're now with you.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
That's the part that I like.
Yeah. So my plan is Stork at center.
Yes.
Connolly moves to
right guard.
No.
Left guard?
Left guard. And move Cannon back to the right side where it seems like he's a little bit more comfortable.
I'm almost there with you. I'll have Stork at center, Connolly at right guard because that's where he's traditionally played and is comfortable.
Yeah.
Cannon, get him the hell out of there, put him back on the bench, and put Josh Klein, the guy who started there last year in place of Logan Mankins, in there.
Why not Klein now? You know,
that's a good question. I don't know why they went from, hey, he's a rookie undrafted guy who can start for us to, oh, now he's a second-year veteran who can't play, who can't be active.
It seems like they've made a decision that just Cannon's better at guard than Klein. And if that's the case, then they should stick with that.
I'm not seeing that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't.
Well, I've seen Klein play,
and
I've seen Cannon play, and I don't like the way Cannon plays.
Yeah. So I don't know, but we'll see. And I hope that whatever they do this weekend, they stick with it, because you got to stick with it.
Well, not if it's not going well.
No, I know, but
I like the fact that they put Stork in the other day. It wasn't going well. They don't just stick with it because you need the five.
No, I know, but at some point you have to decide these are my best five.
But I would agree with Eric about Cannon. I think he's been terribly underwhelming as a guard. I don't know anything about Klein. He played a game. I couldn't tell you how he played in it. I'll tell you, he was terrible in the preseason. Terrible. Especially in the last preseason game. He got Garoppolo killed a couple of times in that one. And maybe they looked at it and said, you know what? This guy didn't make the progress. That, you know, right. That jump that we're looking for.
Right.
He's the same guy he was last year. And we put up with some of the roughness around the edges last year.
And they gave him every opportunity to train.
Oh, God.
Him.
He had as many snaps as anybody in the preseason. Him and Devy played constantly. Now, I thought Devy was awful in the preseason, too, and he's played every game. So. Yeah.
It almost seems like they knew that something was going to happen with Mankins, and they were trying to find out desperately who's our guards.
Yeah. It's troubling to me that we're a month now into the regular season, and we still have training camp preseason-like issues that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
It's too late in the game for that.
All right. Pizza's here, so why don't we get that out of the way. We'll take a break. We got calls on the line. We have emails coming in, and it's going to be a great show because, you know, Wednesday there's no picks. It's just solid Patriots talk. So we'll be right back.
Isn't this perfect for a guy like me? At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was we would always have there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer, which
yep, me
could,
too,
which you couldn't call
oh,
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean he was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
People hearing that think I grew up like in the MMA.
That story never gets old.
What the hell's going on?
That's funny every time I hear it.
It's all true. 100% true. Vividly remember all of it. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul had to step out briefly to do an all-access piece. He saw a camera with a red light on, so he put his jacket on and just sprinted out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. The only time I see that when there's food or Miller Lite involved. But cameras are another thing that he all right. Talking about everything here, the offensive line, Tom Brady, Tom Brady's press conference, Kansas City coming up. So we got the line stacked up here on Ace Tick.
Does anything, before you go to that, does anything concern you about the defense at this point? Because the offense has been getting a lot of
A lot of people
criticism.
Are questioning Revis's play. I'm not. I really am not. I think it's fine. I think he's going to get better as the season goes. And I'll tell you, I think just like Aqib Talib was a reason why I think the defense, you know, had a good start last year. Mm. I think because of him, you know, a lot of people are pointing toward Hightower's, better play.
He has.
And I think he is playing better. But I think part of the reason he's playing better is because they're taking more chances of being more aggressive, and they feel they can because Revis is back there. So I still think that Revis is, you know, making this defense a better defense.
But he's not as good as he's going to be, you think? For this defense.
No, I think he's going to get better. Yeah. I think he's going to improve.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's doing okay now. He's certainly better than any cornerback we've had since Ty Law. That's for sure.
So he's playing better than Talib at this point?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think if I really think a lot of defensive backs, not just on the Patriots, but across the league, are still trying to figure out where the refs are going to come down based off the preseason.
That's a good
You know,
point.
I still think that, you know, they're still trying to figure out.
So they're backing off a little bit more, maybe?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I really do. And that includes Revis. All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good.
Hey. I'm a little concerned about all of it, man, but Brady is frustrated, man. And you can't blame him. He's been the ultimate Patriot from day one, ultimate. and surround him with whatever. I'm not saying that all of it's not his fault, but some of it is his fault. I think his psyche is at work right now, too. And he's trying to force something. I know people getting hurt or hit. But like you said, man, he's getting racked up like they're playing that crash derby thing, the roller derby thing, and he's getting hit mainly too much. And I agree with Andy from the other day, that the talent level isn't what everybody think it is. I've been saying that for 5 years. Y'all been laughing at me for about 5 years. I mean, you're not, you know, it's not there. It's not there talent-wise. You know, and if Brady keep on, you said they're going to get better. I hope they do.
Are you saying across the board, Eldridge? You know, offense and defense
board,
or just offense?
Receivers, across the board, man.
I mean, on defense too?
Defense, I give them a little bit. But, man, they ain't faced a good offense yet. And they're coming.
Yeah, they are.
They're coming.
Yeah.
They ain't faced a good offense yet. And you're barely holding on. You know what I mean? You ain't faced a good one yet. I mean, you still got the same people. Yeah, you got Revis. But you ain't got no answer in safety. The other corners on the other side, man, from what I've seen, they're getting burnt. And I'm watching from North Carolina. I ain't never seen them jump from a Patriots game to somebody else's game.
Well burnt, listen, I mean, you know, yeah, burnt is a relative term because burnt back a couple of years ago would mean a guy like Carr would throw for 350 yards and score in the 20s. You know, they scored 9 points, didn't get in the end zone, and he had, what, like 250 yards or something like that? I don't know. Is that really getting burned?
Burnt to me is a guy is so far away from making the play in coverage that, you know,
well,
the receiver is like 3-4 yards separated from him. I'm not seeing that.
I mean, Logan Ryan, and this is the guy that you're talking about. It must be Eldridge because, you know, Ryan and Revis are the guy, two guys that, you know, got picked on a little bit. Ryan is right there. The pass interference call was a bad call. And if that isn't made, you're like, wow, great play by Logan Ryan to end the drive. So I don't think that these guys are getting really burned the way people think they are. Certainly, they're absolutely not.
They're giving up passes, but they're not getting burned.
But that's the NFL. The NFL, everybody gives up passes. You can't shut down quarterbacks in the NFL. The rules are designed not to be able to let defenses do that, you know?
I'm not saying shut down, Fred. I'm not shutting down. At least with most, like, I'll give you a good example. The Bears game against the Jets. Most of their corners, including Fuller, the fifth round pick, that was under the guy that got hurt. Every time they threw the ball, he's in the area. He's knocking it down. He's in the area. Oh, he's making the tackle. He's right there. Ryan and Harrington, them, no. The guy's catching the ball from 5, 6, 7 yards. I know you can't shut nobody down. It's physically impossible to shut them down. But at least be somewhere close by where they ain't making 8, 9 yards going down the field. And I think Fuller, they had what? 3 interceptions in that game against the Jets Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right there with the best. And he's a fifth-round pick. It all falls on Belichick also. And with Daniels on his play call. I mean, you got right, and you're not using him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's going to take a little. They're not using right the way we want to see them use him, but he may not be ready yet. I mean, he just got here. I think, you know, give them a few games, and then if they're not using right, then okay. You know, what'd you get him for? You traded Mankins for him, for crying out loud.
And you got Dobson on the sideline.
That's frustrating. It's frustrating. Yep.
And then the only one you got is Edelman. I mean, little Megatron, love him to death, man. I just hope he don't get beat up like Brady.
Yep.
That's what I hope.
All right. Thanks, Eldridge.
Like Brady.
Thanks, Eldridge. I hear you. I mean, you know, the thing. You know, he's right. Right now, it's just Edelman. And, you know, Gronk is getting a little bit more into the mix. But the thing I'll cling to is that it's not like Brady's throwing to the other guys and they're dropping it. You know?
No.
And you know, it's just that he's not throwing it to them. So that can change. It's, you know, we'll see. I mean, when KT gets it thrown, he's pretty much catching it. LaFell, when he was thrown to, he caught it for the most part.
The drops have not been the concern.
No.
With the receivers.
And remember, that was a concern the last couple years. The Patriots, I think, were the worst in the league with drops or something like that.
My concern is kind of like the O-line where they don't know who they really want at guards. They don't know what they're doing with Dobson.
No, they don't. They don't. It's obvious.
And
you can't tell me, well, I mean, people will say that, you know, LaFell not LaFell, but KT might be a better run blocker than I mean, really, you have wide receivers to catch balls, not to block. I mean, that's just a bonus. It's,
exactly.
You know, so you put the best receiver out there who's the best receiver, not the best blocker.
Right. And now, part of me says, when I heard the report about the screw in his foot, the surgery that he had in the offseason,
yeah.
My initial thought was, that's it, write him off for this season. Because at the time, he hadn't been practicing in camp.
Right.
He hadn't taken part in the offseason program. I thought at that point, he's going to be so far behind, they'll put him on PUP, and then maybe we'll see him midseason, or maybe he'll end up on IR. I didn't even have any expectation that he was going to be part of the mix at this point. So in that regard, it's encouraging that he's at least been out there practicing and has been active at least once. But the other side of that is, if he wasn't ready for that, and now they have to keep deactivating him, now you've wasted a roster spot.
Well, that's the thing. It's I mean,
that's a bad personnel decision if that's the case.
I don't understand the flip-flopping. It's KT, then Dobson, then back to KT. I don't know what they're going to do in this game, but if they go back to Dobson, stick with him. You know,
I'd like them to stick with all these positions.
You know, and if what they're saying is, well, you know, they're all about the same and we want to keep them all ready, you know, I don't know.
That's, to me, that would be something atypical for a football team.
Yeah.
Or any team, really.
Yeah. I don't see where in a given team KT
is a better option.
Is a better option depending on matchup than Dobson. I don't see that.
I don't either.
Now LaFell, they say, well, he plays special teams too. You know, okay.
You also paid him a hell of a lot of money to come over.
So LaFell gets the spot, and then it's KT and Dobson battling it out for the other one, assuming Amendola has a spot too. But what I'm saying is, at this point, if you're not going to use Amendola, then sit him and bring Dobson in there, you know?
And paid him a lot of money, too.
And if Edelman gets hurt, okay, you limp through a game without a true backup to Edelman. But that's what I say. Now, that's not – and again, I'll say it again. I do want them to use Amendola. I'm not saying bench Amendola. I'm saying use Amendola. Mm. But if it's their decision that we're going to throw to this guy maybe once or twice, and, you know, the few times we are, it depends on somebody, you know, doing a pick block correctly, then really he's just taking up a spot,
I know.
And he also backs up Edelman on the punt, you know, returns too. But I'll live with somebody else doing it for one game. All right, let's go back to the phones. Drew's in Connecticut. Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make 2 points. One is, I've seen a lot of people say that the offense moved the ball and was a lot more effective than the score showed. I really don't think that that's the case. I mean, it looked like they struggled and scrapped for every single yard that they get. They were constantly in third and long. And
yeah, you didn't hear that on this show.
No. On the internet and stuff like that, a blog post.
Yeah.
It seems like they're fighting way too much and people are trying. I'm not trying to be overly negative, but it just...
Well, think about it, and this is to back up your point, Drew. The average team in the NFL, if they're 50% good on third down conversions, that's excellent. That's an excellent percentage, all right? On the drive that the Patriots scored, they had to convert 5 third downs. They had to be perfect on that. I mean, that's asking too much of an offense to do that when you think that the average is 50%. So when you have to convert 5 third downs on one drive, and they weren't third and ones.
Yeah.
That's living on the line too close.
Yeah.
You know,
and that one scoring drive, it worked out.
Right.
Several other drives, they were punting after.
Right.
You know, six, eight plays.
You know, like I said, the average is 50% third down conversion is really good. Mm. Most a lot of teams are below that, so that backs up your point, Drew.
And the other thing I wanted to say is, I don't know if the Patriots should, or even if they would, go after a guy like Richie Incognito to fix up that line.
Somebody, but not him.
I don't want
this.
That.
I didn't like Richie Incognito long before the bullying. The guy was a jerk, and he wasn't that good.
Yeah, he wasn't that.
He good. Wasn't that good to say, oh, well, we'll put up with the jerkiness.
Yeah.
But he's not that good. So
compare it in a way to Brandon Lloyd.
how many teams has Brandon Lloyd played for in his career?
Yeah.
There's a reason why so many teams decided after a short period of time that they didn't want him anymore.
Yeah.
It's very similar to Incognito.
Yeah, if Cognito was like a Brian Waters, you know, just so solid, you know, when he's out there, he just doesn't make mistakes. But he's not like that. He's not that good.
And if that were the case, Fred, his first team wouldn't have cut him.
Well, unless he's just...
They would have put up with his nonsense
if
he was that good.
Right. You know, so, yeah, somebody, he was that, but not Richie Incognito, not him.
I don't know who's out there, though. I mean, that would be...
All right, thanks, Drew. Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin. Justin!
Hello, can you hear me?
We can. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I was kind of breaking up on your side for a second, but one thing, I was on the ledge right after the Raiders game, but one thing I think can bring us back, if Gronk returns to Gronk, I think that can make this offense elite decent. I mean, I'm as negative on the offense as everyone else. I think the offensive line is rice paper. I think that Stork needs to be a little above average and emerge into someone that can help us. But I think the defense is pretty decent.
Well, I disagree. I think Stork needs to be is average. Just be solid.
Yeah, but our offensive line needs something, though.
Well,
being disappointed.
If we're depending on Brian Stork to come in as a rookie and be above average and be the savior for the offensive line, then forget it. I just want him to come in and just do his job.
Be able to start.
And allow Connolly to play guard.
Yes.
That's the big thing. Get Connolly out of the center position and allow him to get to guard. That strengthens, you know, it's the trickle-down thing. It strengthens the whole line to put Connolly back at his more natural guard position. That's the main reason I want Stork in. Not because Stork is this great center.
Yeah.
Just because it allows, it just uplifts the whole, you know, talent level of the line.
Maybe he will be a great center.
It could be.
But you're right.
Right.
All you need is somebody who's capable of playing the position at a level that allows the other guys
to
be stable.
Right.
Okay, needs a strong word, but I think we need someone on this offensive line to play either like themselves or play better than themselves, because Nate Solder's not getting it done anymore ever since the two left, and Sebastian Vollmer's not getting it done anymore ever since the two left.
Well, those are the two guys that we need to be looking at. Solder's a first-round pick. Vollmer's a second-round pick. You know, they're both making good money. Solder's going to be making real good money, or should be, after this year. Those are the two that, if we're going to pick on somebody, those are the two that, you know, have the expectation that they need to be the cornerstones of this offensive line, and they're not playing that well. I don't know so much Vollmer. I haven't heard his name.
He's made, I mean, looking at the film, he's been responsible for a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Okay.
As far as guys getting to Brady.
Yeah. I mean, most of the players is Solder that I've heard, but the both of them need to step it up.
Solder's had more penalties than Vollmer, but Vollmer's given up
I think if Connolly's next to Vollmer instead of Devy, I think his game gets,
I think it's better. Yeah. I do.
You know, you can't discount what all these grizzled offensive coaches tell us. It's all about continuity and communication, and that's why, you know, you can always find a guard as long as they're coachable and can fit into your system. You don't need, you know, these all pros to have a good offensive line because they work, you know, together so much. So as long as they work together and they're fundamentally sound, you can have a good offensive line.
Okay, I just want to say you guys had a great show yesterday, and thank you guys.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to ask him, like, what made it so great, but, you know, he hung up. Let's go to Rob in Newfoundland, who's, according to this, chasing moose.
Hello?
Yes?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I got through. Listen, I'm your change of pace caller. I'm in the middle of Newfoundland, and I'm on a hike, and I'm about 75 yards from a bull moose, and I think he's going to solve your offensive line problem.
Is that right? Take a picture and send it to us. Text
his name, Teddy Roosevelt?
Yeah.
Bull moose.
I'm going to try to do that later, but he's about, I don't know, 6'6", 600 pounds.
Wow, I love this. People are listening to our show while they're looking at moose in the, you know, I'm glad you have cell coverage out there. Yeah.
Take a picture,
it's
though.
A complete fluke. I just tried it by accident. I listen to every show, and if not live, then certainly on podcasts. So I'm really glad to get through.
All right. Well, thanks for the call,
awesome. And
good luck. Don't poke the moose. All right.
Just watching me.
Okay, Rob. Thanks for the call. Okay,
that's
good.
That's a first.
That's a unique call right there.
Yeah. Chris is in Miami. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Are you swimming with sharks?
No, I'm actually. I actually think that I have the solution for the defense and offense.
Oh, we're all ears.
All right. First of all, I think the one thing on the offense is going to come down to how much time Brady's going to have to throw that ball.
Okay.
That's how Hagan and him is going to work out. So I feel that we need to change the center. We need to go to Brian, the guy from Florida State.
Yep, Stork.
Brian Stork. Yep.
I think that kid has potential. And I don't think a center has to be all that talented. He just needs to be I think he's like, after Brady, that guy has to be the smartest guy.
Yeah, he needs to make the calls on the line. Absolutely. Yep. He's the anchor of the line.
Yep.
He needs to pick right. Who's he's going to help? Is he going to help the right side or the left side?
Yep.
So we'll be able to hold inside.
Yep.
We need to bring a little bit more meat, a little more weight to the inside. I feel that maybe we should move Bomer. Or maybe have the running backs are not doing such a good job on picking up the blocks. I don't think they're doing such a good job. I used to like Danny Woodford for that.
Yeah.
He used to pick up good blocks. I remember when he picked on Ray Lewis.
But the problem is there haven't been that many instances where the running backs have chipped in and missed out the blocks. There have been one or two, but that hasn't been the problem. The problem has been one-on-one matchups with either the tackles or some of the interior.
Yeah, from what I've seen of Ridley, he's done pretty well.
He had one egregious error against Minnesota that led to a sack, but other than that, the running backs haven't played a part in really pass protection this year.
From what we know.
I've watched all the games.
Well, no, but like, for example, if Vereen runs out of the backfield, we don't know if he was told to chip the guy and he didn't do it.
Right. I'm saying, I mean, anytime we've seen them in the backfield, that hasn't been a problem. That could be a point.
All right, another guy that I feel that everybody's picking on is the guy that came from the Buccaneers, the tight end.
Tim Wright.
That guy, if we will have him play right now, that will be a disadvantage. That guy can block. So why would we bring a guy that can just catch when we need a little bit more wing inside? You got me?
Well, that's why they bring in Fleming. They bring in Fleming as an eligible lineman, and he blocks.
Exactly. So I feel like once they fix
that, he doesn't pass
that guy is going to get going a little bit more. You got me? Once we fix the offensive line, we'll be able to use him a little bit more. You got me?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The receivers will get open a little bit more because, I mean, a guy like Amendola, if you put a guy right on him, you're going to shove him for a little bit. You're going to push him around a little bit. If you give him a little bit more time for him to cut in, that guy is faster than any linebacker.
Yep.
He's going to have a space to go get catch balls.
Okay. So now how do you improve the defense, assuming it needs to be improved?
I feel that we should put Brandon Bolden. The cornerback from Seattle, the one that...
Browner. Yeah, he's eligible after next game.
At safety, next to McCourty.
Okay.
And Danner,
at safety?
Corner.
He's never played safety before in his life.
Safety is not that hard to play.
Oh, really?
It's not that hard to play.
Oh, okay.
And I think sending
because you've done
here,
it, right? You've done it at the NFL level.
Yeah.
So it's not that
hard. I don't know. I've seen... Merton Hanks, for example, I think he was a guy in San Francisco that they took from corner to safety. Obviously, McCourty did it.
Yeah, you can do it.
You can do it.
Not everybody can do it.
You know, we're doing it now in the fifth game of the season. I don't see the safety position as a big problem.
Well, also, if it were that easy to play, how come we have four guys who aren't capable of being the starter consistently next to Devin McCourty?
Well, I don't know whatever the reason is.
If it were that easy to play.
Again, I don't see defensive back as this big issue right this year on the team. Certainly not like the way it's been.
I think it will be.
You think it will be?
It will be. If we play a team like Denver, we play a team that is going to score a lot on us.
Well, let's see.
If we got Browner at safety, we can send him in to block a guy like Wes Walker.
Well, I think that...
down on the floor.
Now,
Chris.
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
We've already seen. Did you say you wanted Browner on Wes Welker?
No, I think just a guy that can come from back there and help inside and stay back there. That guy is tall. He's big.
Yeah, and his problem with a guy like Wes Welker, we saw in training camp, he can't cover guys like that.
Yeah, Welker will tear him up. He's just too quick.
Welker will destroy him.
But to kind of help you out here, Chris, we have seen the defense use corners in sort of safety positions throughout preseason, when they've had five guys on the field and six guys
pretty
on the
much
field.
All of their corners have done that way.
So, they've lined up corners like Arrington has lined up
Logan
in the safety
Ryan.
Position, Logan Ryan. So they might be getting ready for more of that because I do believe they think when Browner gets here, we're going to have to play him.
Yeah.
But we want to keep these other guys on the field too, you know. So they're figuring out how to use their best players.
Alfonso Dennett even played safety
right.
a little bit in preseason.
So they want to keep these guys on the field when Browner gets here. And I think you're seeing that already.
Yeah. And we need to stop doing that. We need to stop moving them around. We need to stick to the best 11 men on the defense.
Well, that we
stick
agree
with. Them and just switch them. Switch them. Yeah, bring them in because, I mean, they're not going to be able to stay through the entire drive. But they need to get used to each other. You know? I mean, they need to get used to.
I agree with you there.
This guy likes to do these. You know what I mean? So this is how I'm going to help them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the call. Let's go up to Ohio. Sean's in Dayton. Hey, Sean.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you know, I'm a longtime Patriot fan, and I'm, you know, since I'm like 10, 12 years old. But, you know, in the preseason, you know, all the problems that we're having on the team are the same things that you guys are talking about as well as a lot of other fans. But, you know, I think it's time to lay a lot of this blame at the door of Bill Belichick's feet. I mean, he's done a below-average job of drafting talent and bringing in talent, cuts Logan Mankin, gets rid of Tommy Kelly. Now, you could say on one hand, every team, you're not going to be able to fill every single position and have great talent there. That's just not going to happen. But we're starting to have so many glaring holes at so many positions that I don't know this year. I have no idea what we're going to do or if we're going to make the playoffs. I mean, Tom Brady, to me, is still Tom Brady. But looking at what you can on TV, because you can't see all of the secondary, but a lot of those guys aren't open. They're just not, besides Edelman and Gronk from time to time.
Okay.
Know, defense is
yeah.
pretty
I deep. Mean, certainly if you look at from a drafting standpoint and free agency, the emphasis has been on the defense. If you look at where guys have been drafted on the defense, a lot of high-round picks, and where the money is being spent, you know, with Revis, when you get to the offense, you know, besides Vollmer and Solder, there's not a lot of first and second-round picks there. Dobson's a second-round pick, but he's not playing. But, you know.
I agree with your point, Sean, though, that Belichick, the GM, has made a lot more mistakes than Belichick, the head coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's hard. Personnel, it's hard in the NFL.
That's why most teams have someone who coaches and someone who picks the personnel.
I'll still take Bill. I'll take Bill. I like the program that the Patriots are running. I can't, you know, I tried to think of this yesterday driving home. All right, if it wasn't Bill, who would I want? I don't have an answer. I don't know who I would rather have, and there isn't anyone.
As a GM?
Well, both.
Coach,
either.
He's great.
Either.
But as far as the GM, I mean, if it was up to Bill Belichick, we probably wouldn't have Vince Wilfork this year.
I know.
But he's our best lineman so far.
But who's the guy that you want picking talent on this team?
Here's what I think should happen. They just need somebody to simply not to overrule Bill when it comes draft time or bringing in talent, but somebody that can say, hey, Bill.
Stand up to him.
You know, maybe you're not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because he's going unchecked, and he's kind of reverting back to his old Cleveland days to me.
Yeah.
That's the talent that he's getting right now.
The whole Rutgers thing is questionable.
I mean, Tom's holding us together right now, fellas. If he goes down, the season, it's a wrap.
Yeah. All right, Sean. Thanks for the call. All right, let's get to some emails. Phil in Austin writes in, I see signs of organizational arrogance creeping into the Patriots. It manifests itself as a belief that the observations of outsiders are wrong and the adoption of the attitude that we're just smarter than you. Examples include opening up the Raiders game with three straight passes, playing the 3-4 on defense this year, Jordan Devey, Tommy Kelly. I'm sure you can add to this list. Many successful companies, organizations, and political dynasties have fallen apart after they started to believe that they were just smarter than everyone else. Have the Patriots reached this point? Wow.
Mm.
Okay. James in Brisbane, just chiming in with the debate.
Just real quick, Fred, I think you can make a case that they're maybe overthinking things.
I do think they overthink things a lot. James writes in, just chiming in with the debate topic of the week. Frankly, there are plenty of reasons to be concerned about the team so far, but knowing what we do, Surely Belichick and company have earned the benefit of the doubt about getting the team right by December. All things going well, the line will find a rhythm and be able to improve their pass protection. Gronk will get more and more comfortable as he continues his rehab, since there's no way he's fully healthy yet. And Josh McDaniels will stop having 12 cups of coffee before a game and have a more calm system of play calling instead of the ADD stuff we have seen so far. Anyway, just to change topic temporarily, if Roger Goodell ever writes a tell-all book, which would you be most interested in? His handling of Spygate? I still think those tapes have evidence of other teams doing the same thing. Bountygate, no idea what happened there. The lockout negotiations or the Ray Rice thing? He knows something.
Just because it's so close to us, I would want to know about.
Yeah, why did you get rid of the tapes? You know, what was the big deal?
Yeah.
You know, if you said that half of it was cheerleader stuff, which I believe, you know, why bother? Why get rid of it? It just makes you look bad. It raises suspicions.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I would want to know the answer to that. Let's go to Jordan in North Carolina. I know we're moving on to Kansas City, but it's hard to forget the performance on Sunday. We haven't moved on here.
Not yet.
Yes, we won, and I'm happy we're 2-1. However, you can't look past the hard offensive line. Our offensive line looks like it was bought at Big Lots. This is the kind of O-line that you get on Christmas and pretend to get excited, but really deep down, you're full of disappointment. I guess somehow Brian Stork is the savior. That's cute. That being said, I still feel like we'll get better simply because it cannot get any worse. And Bill, we trust. How can people not trust the man that has led us to 3 straight AFC championships? Say what you want, but Bill is still the best coach in the league. And believe me, he has something up his half sleeve. Thanks for reading. We have to stop all this doubting and negativity. If the team had the same attitude the Patriots Nation had, then they'd be 0-16. I hear that. Let's see. Austin, he wants to bring in Incognito. We talked about that. Another question, he says, how is it that Denver was able to put together such a strong O-line, and we're in the situation we're in? Is it a coaching issue? Luck with the draft, or that Denver knows they have to invest in top quality linemen to protect their franchise quarterback? Elway definitely knows what he needed at the end of his career to have a success he had, a good running game and a good O-line. We have neither. I suggest we let Big Vince sack Bill and see how he likes it. Maybe then he'll get Brady some help. Okay. People are, you know, very opinionated here. Seth writes in. Of course the offense is bad if both guards aren't starting caliber players. For the sake of the argument, let's say that Stork plays center and Connolly right guard. Who replaces Cannon? I'm not sure Bill thinks Cannon is not good enough, and in reality he stinks. He's not quick enough. If you could add any piece on offense and defense, which position would you add? I personally think we still need an elite defensive tackle on defense, and on offense I have no clue.
Well, I want to just address the Cannon thing for a second, Fred, because what did the emailer say? His problem was he's not quick enough. That may be true. The other thing that I'm noticing when I watch film, when Cannon gets beat a lot, it's from a strength perspective. He looks like he's on roller skates.
Oh.
And he's getting pushed back by guys who are smaller in both height and weight, just overall size to him. That, to me, is more troubling than the quickness, because a guy that size, he's the biggest guy on the team as far as weight goes.
Yeah.
Now, Vollmer and Solder are a little taller, but he's the biggest guy from a weight perspective that's listed. And he gets pushed around a lot more than I would want a guy that size to get pushed around. You can kind of give him a little benefit of the doubt on being quick, because when you're that big, it's hard to be quick. I'm more concerned with how he gets manhandled sometimes. That, to me, is the bigger concern with Marcus Cannon.
Well, you know, when you're that big, you know, he's tall, too.
He's pretty tall. Yeah, he's like 6'5".
You know, and when you're a guard, you know, if you don't get your pad level low and get underneath the guy and he gets underneath you, you can get pushed around. It's a technique thing. And, you know, he might be better suited to play tackle, and, you know, he's just not good at guard.
And he's not that great at tackle either. He's a backup at either spot.
But he's played tackle, and I don't remember us going, wow, that was a terrible game.
I would rather see him at a tackle spot than at a guard spot.
Robin in Alaska says, I'm convinced that fans that insist Browner should be a safety are Madden players because in a video game that switch works immediately. Could be. You know, who knows? Madden's a big influence.
In reality, he has never done it in his life, and I don't expect to see him do it when he comes back from suspension.
Let's see. Fred writes in, good show, kind of miss Big Head's humor. Couple of points. The defense is so far is awesome, but like you guys said, we played scrubs. But in the couple weeks, we have the best D in the NFL as well as the most takeaways. It's always good to be an opportunistic defense, so you've got to give them credit. Our 2012 first-round picks are doing an amazing job. I personally believe Chandler Jones is on a Pro Bowl pace. Finally, I think that if you look around the league, most teams have been ravaged by injuries to key players. It's a blessing that we are healthy so far and that we haven't been decimated like the Chiefs and Eagles. Mm. Imagine having three starters out on offense on the offensive line like the Eagles, or if Edelman tore his ACL this week.
Well, that was last year. That was last year.
Right. We just have to get better. Great show. Go Pats. PSF, effer right in the P guy struck again. Oh, geez. He grabbed the mic from a reporter responding to a down power line. That is number 5.
Oh, God.
I like it. It's good.
I mean, don't they recognize the guy?
I guess he wears disguises and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll have like a beard one week and then a non-beard. Yeah,
really?
He'll do a black hoodie with sunglasses and all.
Well,
that
where he lives,
stuff.
There must be a
Who
lot.
Who is the reporter that's going up to a guy with completely in disguise?
The best is like a lot of the times he sets it up. Like they're like, "Where were you when this happened?" And he's like, "Well, I was sitting on the porch.
Right. I saw that one
at 8 o'clock in the morning having a Budweiser, and
right.
then I."
Right.
It's great.
Junior writes in from Indy. He says, best show on air. I honestly think our talent at our skill positions are good, and people can say that Brady doesn't trust his receivers, but how I see it, he doesn't trust his line enough to throw to the other skill guys. He doesn't have time to go through his progressions. Most plays, first Reed, Edelman, second Gronk. Your thoughts? I think, you know, everyone pretty much to some degree agrees with that time is an issue. Mm-hmm. And when you're a quarterback and you don't feel like you're going to have the time, you're going to go back to your binky.
Yeah.
And his binky is Edelman.
Yeah.
You know, and Gronk is getting to be
back to that
binky too.
Yeah. Right.
Let's see. JD writes in, these Patriots overcome adversity every year. Last year it was an incarcerated tight end and the injury bug. This year it's an underwhelming O-line. And Bill, we trust and all that, but I'm frustrated like everyone is. It's the Mankins trade. Brady being snippy about who he passes to, Gronk not being Gronk, and the offensive play calling. The answer is to just chill the F out. I believe Belichick will get these guys focused and back to playing Patriots football. Brady is obviously declining, but he's still Tom Brady. He's still a winner and deserves our support.
That's what we've been saying.
I'm predicting TB12 puts up 30 points in Kansas City, and the defense continues to improve.
Ooh, 30 points, huh?
Yeah.
That, I would be mildly surprised to see 30 points in that environment.
In Kansas City?
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was amazing, speaking of loud environments, how Manning in Seattle
last drive,
bing, 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 drove that team down the field.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
It was. It was because you knew that they had to do it.
Yeah.
They don't get the touchdown the 2 points, they're done.
You know, arguably the best defense in the league in the most hostile environment,
it was
and
impressive.
He just did that. That was impressive.
It was.
Yeah.
Give credit, too, to Seattle for responding in overtime.
Right. Yep.
They didn't even give Peyton a chance to get the ball.
Right.
They completely drove it down their throats, too. That was a great ending to that game.
Yep.
I didn't get to see all of it because it was, you know, while we were working, putting the paper together for most of it. But by the time I got home, I got home in time to see that last drive.
Turn around. Paul's bare-chested. The hell's
you know, he likes to get a little cocktail in him every once in a while.
You know, if Paul had that, like, curly mustache, he'd look like that old guy with the barbell.
Right. You know? The old-time weightlifter.
I don't even know what you're talking
about.
Right.
You know the old-time, like the
circus?
19th century, circus
the
weightlifter guys? They were bald with the big mustache, and they would hold up.
And I look like a strong guy?
I just look quick.
I have no muscles.
I just look quick.
You're confusing me with Andy.
Nick's back. Paul's back from All Access, and Nick has a question for Paul. He wants to know, can you name like 5 teams in the league that you don't think suck? Paul has to think.
No, I wasn't on the microphone.
I think he's just kidding, Paul.
But I do. His larger point is accurate. I think that the majority of the teams are not very good in the National Football League. I think
Seattle's pretty good. I think New Orleans is pretty good. I think Denver's pretty good. I think Cincinnati's pretty good. I think Indianapolis is pretty good. I think San Francisco's pretty good. I think Green Bay's pretty good.
Right.
And obviously the Patriots I would put in there. I'm not willing to go. And right now, based on what we've seen, half of the teams I just mentioned have not played well this year. New Orleans, the Patriots.
But that's pretty much the way it is
every
year,
right? San Francisco, those teams haven't played
very
well.
There's an upper echelon of teams, and then the rest of the teams, you know, can win or lose every game.
Yeah, I think the rest of the teams suck. The difference is you think that the rest of the teams are, they're all right. They could win or lose.
I think that, you know.
Like Tennessee sucks. Yeah, they'll win 5 or 6 games, but they suck.
I don't even know if they'll win that many this
Buffalo
year.
Buffalo sucks.
But when was the league to a point where, you know, the bottom teams were better than they are now?
I don't know. I just think the top teams were better than they are now. Back in the day.
When, what, 80s?
No, this is 90s. Probably for him, it was like the 30s, right?
Right. Y.A. Tittle.
Yeah. Paul Hornung.
Back when the Browns were winning championships year after year.
No, but his point Otto about Graham. Me is largely right. I am not overly impressed with most of the teams in the league.
Right. That's because when the Patriots beat them, he can say that they stink.
I don't know why you do that. I don't know why you do that. I don't.
Let's go to back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We've been, going through some emails, Paul.
Flew through a bunch of phone calls, got a bunch of emails.
I'm going to go through some pizza.
You just had pizza. You want more? All right. put down your barbell.
Yes, Mom.
Put down your barbell.
Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
I
got a question. What do y'all think have y'all noticed an improvement in, like, pressure? Because I know we talked about that a lot during the offseason. You know, once you get Revis, you'll be able to do a lot of creativity as far as generating pressure and stuff like that goes.
They had a hell of a lot better pressure against Minnesota than last week, Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday I didn't see it as much.
Yeah.
They had their moments. And Dante Hightower, we talked about before, has, I think, been playing his best football of his career so far. But overall, I'm not seeing the kind of consistent pressure that I was hoping for.
No, I didn't see any pressure at all on Sunday, but I'm not necessarily being critical because I think it was partly at least by design.
Right.
I think that they didn't want to let Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
I don't think they wanted to let him out of the pocket playing in his third game. They didn't think that he'd be able to make enough throws to beat them. And they felt and I didn't talk to anybody. No one said this to me, but I felt like they said, let's have him sit in the pocket. Let's just try to make him, put together 5, 6, 7 tough throws and work his way down the field. Let's not let him run for 25 yards he did the previous week.
Ninko actually said that, basically.
And we're not going to give up any plays to this guy, and we're going to keep him in the pocket. We're not necessarily looking to pressure him, because if you pressure him, then all it takes is one throw, and he can beat you. You know, if you pick up a blitz and you don't get there, and all of a sudden it's one-on-one and a guy makes a play and you give him a cheap 60-yard touchdown. And I don't think that they wanted to expose themselves to that. My opinion.
Ninko actually made that point last week and after the game, that it was more important for a scrambling QB like him to keep him in the pocket and to try to confuse him and maybe put a little pressure on him as opposed to letting him scramble and get out of there.
Yep.
So Paul's point is valid.
Yep.
Yeah, one more thing real quick. Well, I want you all to tie that in into Alex Smith, because he can kind of shoot off there and dart off a little bit, but he's also, he's improved with his pass, passing the ball. He's doing quite well with that.
Yeah, see, now I think the same game plan, I don't think would be as effective.
Thanks, Melvin. Would you say Alex Smith is a lot like Andy Dalton in his game, the type of game he plays?
He's more athletic than Andy Dalton.
Is he? I think.
He's a runner. He can run.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But Dalton can too a little bit.
Yeah, but
awkwardly.
I don't think that he's as good an athlete as Alex Smith. But, yeah, I see your similarities that you're talking about. They're probably considered game-managing type guys. They don't throw a lot of interceptions generally. Now, obviously, that's when both of them get in trouble. They do.
Right.
You know, week one in Tennessee, against Tennessee, Kansas City got killed because Alex Smith threw 3 picks.
Yep.
And, obviously, we've seen what's happened in the playoffs to Dalton.
Jeff in New Brunswick says, I think many of the fans over the years have gotten spoiled with the seemingly constant winning and won't be happy if they don't win by huge margins. Hear, hear. Let's go to Eddie in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Paul, thanks a lot for bringing up that point. You kind of got me fueling now over that point you just made. Jeez.
Which one was that?
No. I'm agreeing with you, Paul.
No, but which point?
I don't know. Which one are we talking about?
The point in regards to the defense and what they're doing.
Oh, they didn't get why they didn't get any pressure. Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't know that to be a fact. I felt like they said that Derek Carr's not going to beat us, so we're not going to let him get outside of the pocket.
But I could see that happening, and then I start thinking, but wait a second. You've had no-name quarterbacks over the past 5, 6, 7 years burn you because of that philosophy. You're thinking, we don't want them to make the play. We're not going to pressure them. And it just seems like the Patriots are the only team in the NFL that thinks that pressure doesn't affect offense. It boggles my mind.
You can make an argument that it almost cost them this time. I think Carr played a pretty good game, and I think they had opportunities to put more than 9 points on the board. I think you're right.
It just infuriates me. I watched the games now, and I'm just like, I'm a novice and I can see this. I mean, I thought Bill's the expert. He's the best. Why can't he see this? I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, you know? You're not alone. But a lot of people are frustrated.
So coming out, you know, the defense, I mean, it seems like I'm the only person that thinks that somehow the offense is a mess. We all know the offensive line is a mess. But I still somehow have the belief that even though they're not the best, they're kind of somehow, eventually towards the end, they're going to kind of get it somewhat, you know? I mean, they're not going to be as good as they've been in the past, but they'll somewhat get it. But the defense is just, the talent is there. You guys got an email yesterday. Somebody said that it's not about scheme, it's about the talent. That's so wrong. We have the talent on defense. It's just, we don't unleash those guys, and it would help our offense out a bunch if our defense is shutting down the other team's offenses and says that we don't have to rely on, you know, it just, but they're just not going to get that, are they? No.
At the risk of skating Fred's lane for him, they have played pretty well so far this season.
Yeah.
Defense?
Yeah.
I mean, in the last two games, admittedly against terrible competition, but they've done what
job.
You would want them
right.
to do
less than 10
against
points.
Bad competition.
And it's incumbent on the offense to score more than that.
Right.
A lot more than that. I mean, don't forget, it was a stupid holding penalty cost them.
Did you happen to see the replay of that, by the way?
I did.
He tripped over Wilfork. Patrick Chung got tied up with Gabe Jackson.
Yeah.
And he tripped over Wilfork. That's how he went down. That's why they got called. I mean, that was a very fortunate flag. Yeah. Now, I thought the flag on Logan Ryan was terrible, too. So
I'll take any game where the defense doesn't allow a touchdown. I don't care who they're playing.
Yeah, but you just hope that your offense can, especially against a team like the Raiders.
Yeah, but right
score
now I'm just talking defense.
Yeah.
I'll take any game in which they don't let up a touchdown. I don't care
if
who
they can do
playing.
That against a good offense, though, then that'll be the real test.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I think this weekend will be, Monday night will be a good test for that in that environment.
This is a team, though, their offensive line is in shambles, and I would expect to see them get some heat on Alex Smith. I started to say to Eddie a little while ago, I don't think the same game plan of just keeping Alex Smith in the pocket, letting him throw, will be as successful. I think they'll get the ball to Dwayne Bowe, Kelsey,
Fasano,
guys that have caught problems over the middle, those kinds of players. They have some good backs with Jamal Charles, an excellent back.
Mm-hmm.
Niall Davis is coming on the last few weeks.
If they just
allow Alex Smith to get the ball to some of these guys, they'll make plays.
They're going to have to rush him.
They'll make plays.
Yep.
So I think that they need to take advantage of a terrible offensive line in Kansas City and force some turnovers.
Liam writes in, over the summer I emailed Ask PFW about Patrick Chung. I said how I thought he would make a major contribution to the defense. I explained that in 2010, his breakout season, he played strong safety, and when he sucked, he was playing free safety. Paul replied with, he's nothing more than a camp body and will do nothing more than special teams. I'm wondering what Paul thinks of Chung now.
Ideally, is what I actually remember writing that. Ideally, he's a camp body who could provide help on special teams. I think Patrick Chung is terrible. I think he's terrible.
I think the tight ends
that we just talked about, that's Patrick Chung. That's his responsibility. Devin McCourty is in the back.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of the field that's been wide open,
that's
Patrick Chung's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's a very good player.
He's not.
And I heard a lot of people saying how great he played on Sunday. Well, great. I didn't see it.
I didn't see that either.
Cattell from St. Louis, it's finally time for the defense to win us some games other than TB12. 2 or 3 years ago, people were blaming that the defense sucked and offense has to do everything. So what is wrong now if the defense has to carry this team? Offense is fine, and so is TB12. Do you guys think Patriots, Packers, and the Saints are the most overrated teams in the league so far?
The offense is not fine.
I would put the Niners in there. Patriots, Packers, Saints, Niners. I would include them. It all depends on what you think of the defense. Do you think this is the defense? Fred does. Fred thinks how they play against these teams is how they play against the other teams, too. I need to see it.
I need to see it.
I need to see them play competitively against the good offense.
Yeah. I've seen them play against these teams
and
make these teams look a hell of a lot better than they've made these teams look this year.
Yeah, but they also
when?
Okay, well, they didn't give up a touchdown.
How many touchdowns did they give up to Tampa Bay last year?
I don't care. They didn't give up a touchdown, and I think last year that defense in the beginning of the season was playing pretty well.
Against terrible teams, and then when they
they got hurt, we never got to see the defense.
See, but you think they got hurt when they started playing good teams. It wasn't just like cause and effect.
It doesn't matter. We never got to see the defense the way constituted.
If that's how we're going to look at it, and we're going to say now if they give up a lot of points this week, Silva Salinga got hurt?
No.
Because no one who was hurt in Atlanta?
Wilfork
got hurt in the Atlanta game.
Yeah, and he was hurt going into the game. Okay. He was not 100%.
Okay.
He aggravated that. Absolutely.
He ruptured his Achilles.
And he had like a bad ankle.
I mean? No matter what happens, I can just fall back they got hurt.
He had a bad ankle going in. You can't tell me that defense.
Okay, so Wilfork got hurt. And that suddenly allowed you to give up 400 yards of offense to a team that could throw the ball?
It was one after another that got hurt on that defense.
No, I know, but once they started playing teams that had offenses, Fred, they got exposed. Yes, injuries chipped away as the season went along. Yes, that is true. That is accurate.
Yeah.
But they've shut down bad offenses in the past, just like they did the first 3 weeks of the season.
And don't you think Hightower's playing better now?
How did they play against Miami?
Is Hightower playing better?
How did they play against Miami?
It's terrible.
Okay.
They fizzled.
So when they have a team that can actually move the ball a little.
Oh, in seasons where they won Super Bowls, they didn't go down to Miami and have a bad game.
Fred, I'm just talking about how good the defense is. I'm not talking big picture. I'm
right.
not saying
but you just,
I'm
you
not
just
saying
use
the Patriots
that as an
aren't
example.
Going to the playoffs.
You just use that as an example.
I'm telling you.
Is Dante Hightower playing?
Show me defense against a good offense. That's all I'm asking you.
We don't know that answer yet.
But you seem to.
No, I'm happy with this defense right now, and I'm very excited about it to see
I'm
what they're
going to
do.
I'm not as excited about it as you, but I'm happy with their
play
so far.
Is Dante Hightower playing better than he ever played?
He's playing terrific.
Chandler Jones playing well?
Same as I've seen Chandler Jones
play. No? Not a little better than last year? No? You don't think so?
No. I mean, if you want me, don't ask me questions if you don't want the answers.
Right.
Chandler Jones has been fine. I don't see any difference.
Okay.
Right. Dante Hightower, I see a major difference.
I do remember him being defensive player of the league 1 week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
When's he ever had that before? He blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown.
When's that ever happened for him before?
I've never seen him. He won defensive player of the whole month for November last year, but I never saw him block a field goal, so you're right. I have never seen him do that.
I think the defense is playing well.
Two sacks in three games. Let's give him a bust in Canton now.
I think you can point to many years where they've played teams as bad or worse than who they faced this year and played worse. And right now, they're shutting him down. And what else can you ask from a defense?
What did I ask?
They haven't played the good teams yet.
What did I ask from them? We'll see
when they play the good teams.
But right now,
they're playing well.
What did I ask from them to do? All I said was I've seen this before. Last year, they opened with Buffalo, the Jets, and Tampa, and they were similarly dominant.
Yeah.
This year, they have Minnesota without Peterson and Oakland, and they were dominant.
Right.
I want to see what happens when they play teams that can move the ball.
And last year was
because
was
Oakland
defense
was,
the reason?
Oakland can't move the ball against anyone, not just you.
Well.
They didn't move the ball against Houston either, and Houston stinks.
How many points did they score against Houston?
14 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
When they were down 34 to nothing.
They didn't get in the end zone once.
Because the game was competitive. They couldn't let him in the end zone like Houston did.
What do you mean they couldn't let him in the end zone? You think
they
would have
lost the
game.
Yes. They were up 34 to nothing.
They let him in the end zone.
Okay. So when the Patriots give up points at the end of the game,
J.J. Watt,
when they're winning by 5 touchdowns, those are meaningless yards. But now it's a situation where Houston, by the way, who's 2-14 and sucks, we're saying,
J.J. Watt's a great points, and you know that.
They didn't move the ball all day until the last two drives when they scored.
J.J. Watt just said,
The Jets, by the way, didn't let them move the ball all day until they scored at the end, too.
Jets have a good defense.
Okay, my point is that Oakland doesn't have a good offense.
No. I'm telling you that they...
I'm sorry that you think that Derek Carr should be lighting up the school board
against
people.
Okay, so now you're going to do the whole
No, that's what you're doing.
No, I'm saying that the Patriots have made worse offenses look better.
I don't think they've ever made a worse offense than what I saw on Sunday look better than that.
Oh, for God's sake.
And if you want to give me some examples, I'd be happy to hear them.
I've seen quarterbacks come in who, you know, first-year quarterbacks that 300, 400 yards passing.
What's like
name?
Who?
Well,
give
what's
me an
his
example.
Name from Green Bay a
Matt
few
Flynn
years ago?
Is
Matt
one.
Flynn. Okay, Matt Flynn was not a rookie.
Whatever. Was he good?
He was a backup.
Was he good? No.
Okay.
Was he as bad as that?
I don't know.
Was he as bad as Matt Castle
on Sunday? A lot of people are saying this Derek Carr is not a bad quarterback, actually.
I don't have any idea what he's going to be. He wasn't overly impressive to me on Sunday.
Well, why?
Because he has no one to work with.
Oh, maybe because the defense made him look that way.
He wasn't as bad as I thought a rookie could have looked. I'll give him that.
Right.
I don't really know what you're so excited about. That's all I'm saying. I'm not killing the defense. They did what they were supposed to do. They shut down a bad team.
That's not good enough.
That's their job.
Obviously,
why is it not good enough? When did I say the defense has to be?
You know,
did I say to you the defense needs to get better than that?
Unless they turn the team around at halftime, put them on the bus, that's not good enough Oakland Raiders stink.
See, now you just made fun of me being Jerry Callahan. Did I say the defense needs to be better?
You said it's a big but. Well, you know, I'm not sold on them. Are you sold on this defense?
As being what?
A good defense.
No.
Why?
Because I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen them do it against a good team yet.
Okay.
But I didn't say they have to get better. They've dominated two of the three games they've played.
You are saying they have to get better. Right?
I think he's saying
I need to see them play the way they played the last two games against teams that can move the ball.
He wants proof. And
I need proof, that's all.
I'm kind of with
that. I didn't say that they have to get better on the performance that they had.
I don't understand where you're coming from.
But you're saying
they played well.
They played dominant on Sunday.
Okay,
they were great.
But where's the but?
They play against a team that can't move the ball.
So obviously they need to play better if they're going to go against a good team.
Well, no, they just need to
do what they did on Sunday against someone that can move the ball.
Okay. Right.
They don't have to play any better.
Play the way they
just
did.
Just play the way they played on Sunday against a good team and have the same
results.
But
you don't think they can.
I don't know,
is what he's saying.
I need to be.
He wants to see it.
I'm going to shoot you up with the sodium pentothal right now because I don't think you think they can.
I don't think they will, no.
Okay, thank you!
But that's not the same thing you said. I didn't say they had to get better.
Okay, but.
Listen, I'm not a blind little sheep like you. I don't just automatically think everything is going to be great.
No, you ought to think the opposite all the time.
What happened when they played Miami?
They were terrible.
Okay, so why should I think that it's going to be different when they play Denver?
But they've had
Indy.
Or Cincinnati.
They've had terrible
Chicago.
Games in Miami.
Because they're not that good, Fred.
No.
What are they on third? How is their third down defense? Has that been great? No. They have a lot of the same problems that they've always had. But they haven't had teams that have taken advantage of it.
Look.
That's why I'm concerned. I'm sorry I have concerns.
I was hopeful last year. They got banged up. We never got to see it. I'm just as hopeful this year.
I just hope and pray that they never get one injury so you don't have an excuse.
With Revis instead of Tlaib, I'm just as hopeful. With Hightower playing the way he's playing, I'm just as hopeful.
Do you think Revis has played as well as Tlaib did in the first three games last year?
Yes. Yes. Right. I do.
All right.
Yeah.
It's your opinion. I can't take it away from you.
You know, we talked about this earlier. I think Revis is one of the reasons why Hightower is playing better because they're allowing these guys up front to be a little bit more aggressive. And they wouldn't be doing that if they weren't as confident in the defensive backfield.
Well, then it ain't working.
Now you're back to the defense not playing well.
Well, what did Revis do to help Hightower? Hightower's made plays.
It allows Matt
Revis hasn't.
It allows Matt Patricia to dial up things that he wouldn't if he wasn't as confident. If he wasn't,
he's using Hightower as an on the line player on sub packages.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Hightower might.
What does that have to do with Revis?
You know, Hightower might even be coming out of the off the field if Revis.
Not according
wasn't
to
on
what
it.
Bill Belichick said.
Well, we've seen it.
Did
before.
Did you read Bill Belichick today?
We've seen not this year, because Revis is there.
That is so unbelievably disrespectful to Dante Hightower.
Oh, okay.
It is.
All right.
Yeah. So Bill Belichick saying that that's what he was at Alabama, and that's the kind of player that we drafted. Those are the kinds of versatile things. Did you hear Bill today? Were you here for
Bill?
Mm-hmm. When he was going on and on about all the things that Hightower did at Alabama and all the different ways that we've used him here.
Oh, and
how that's rare for an inside linebacker to be able to do all the things.
But you're not going to do that.
And now that's because of Darrell Revis?
You're not going to do all that stuff if you're not confident in your secondary.
right. You know what? It's all about Revis.
You have to
play. They had a guy that played better than Revis last year for the first part of the season until he got hurt.
If you're not,
it's all about
if you're not confident in your secondary, you have to play it safer.
Hightower's played better, Fred. I'm sorry. Hightower's been better.
Yes.
And that credit goes to one person only. Dante Hightower.
This is Bill from this morning. Dante's a very versatile player. He's played multiple positions for us. That's one of them. He's done that well. He's played off the line, inside on the guard, on the tackle, and played on the line on the tight ends, played down. He did that in college, did some sub-rush in college, played the Sam. And then when Rolando McClain left, he moved inside and played the Mike. So he's a pretty versatile player.
Right.
Pepsi. That's right. That's all.
And up until this point.
It's amazing how he did all those things without Terrell Revis on his team until now.
And up until now, you said he was a big disappointment. Yes or no? He walks out of the room. He walks out of the room. Up until this point, Big Head and Big Mouth would say that Dante Hightower is a big disappointment. Did you or not say that?
Unlike you, I will say yes.
Okay.
I did say that.
But now all of a sudden he's good.
So you can't get better?
Maybe they're using him a better way because
not according to what Bill said. He's done all these things.
No, in college!
And in the pros.
No.
We've used him.
No.
You started off that whole thing.
No.
We've used him.
That's
on
not.
The line. He just read it, Fred.
They would take him out on third down up until now.
Fred, he just said all the different ways that we have used him.
Year.
Oh, stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
This year.
Why can't
and
you just
college.
Admit that the guy has played great?
He has, and I'm one of the
Why do you have to give credit to somebody else?
One of the reasons he's playing great is because they're using him differently.
One of the reasons he's played great is because we're locking up our best cornerback with the other team's receiver, and the other team's receiver's catching the ball.
One of the reasons he's...
That's why Dante Hightower is playing great.
One of the reasons he's playing great is because they're using him the way he should be using him, and they're... They are confident to do that because they're more confident in their defensive backfield. It's a defense
that's,
works as a whole. One
that's,
guy
that's
just
silly.
Can't. It's not silly.
You're just so dismissive of
Hightower. Oh my God. That's dismissive. You know, it's unbelievable.
You're dismissive of Hightower's development is what you're doing.
That a secondary can't make another player better.
I didn't say
better.
That.
Well, you did.
But that's not what's happening in this case.
It's
insulting to Hightower. Hightower's playing at a higher level.
Why?
Not because of Darrell Revis. The coverage hasn't been that good, Fred.
Defense as a whole is playing better because, as a whole, they have more confidence in the secondary. It's causing coverage sacks, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
You think there's been coverage sacks this year? They've been blitzing like crazy to get their sacks.
Okay. All right.
Do you think there have been coverage sacks?
First of all,
they went two games without any sacks.
Right.
So they had sacks in one game.
There haven't been that many. It's mostly been the pressure they put on.
So, Castle. There weren't any coverage sacks with Castle.
I'm not going to say there weren't any. There Maybe there was
no.
one.
Yeah. But
I know they. I mean, Hightower had two of them, so those aren't coverage sacks. Those are blitzes.
I think we've already established that the play of the secondary can cause sacks, right?
Yes, sure.
The play of the
I don't think that's happened so
the
far.
The play
but
of
yes.
the secondary can allow guys up front to do things differently than they did when you think you stink back
they
there.
Can,
sure,
yes.
but they haven't done
and
that.
And you
with
don't
Hightower.
Think that's contributed that to Hightower? Because last
year, I think that Hightower has been used in a lot of these different ways
too.
And has been ineffective.
I do too.
And this year, he's been effective.
Why?
Because he's playing better. That's all.
I
don't know why you don't want to give any credit to Hightower.
Well, when he's not on the field on third down.
He's not always been off the field on third downs, Fred. You're wrong.
Listen to me. When he's not on the field in third downs as in past years, it's hard to
He did not come off the field all the time on third down.
A lot of
times Brandon Spikes came off the field on third down.
A lot of times.
But you're going to insist that you're right.
A lot of times Hightower did. He was not being used the same way. Was he being used the same way?
He's been used in a variety of ways, as Bill explained.
Last 2 years before this?
Yes.
No.
That's what Bill's talking about, how we've used him. He's not just talking about three games.
He was much more one-dimensional up until this year. Now, in college, yes, he was that type of player. And that's why we were all excited.
What was his one dimension? The last 2 years, not this year.
Pretty
he
much
just
nothing.
Said he was one
I mean, they weren't crowding the line
and,
with him.
And I'm the one who's wrong for saying he's disrespectful to Hightower.
Yeah.
Pretty much nothing. He was one-dimensional, and it was nothing.
But, you know, over the last 2 years, this multi-dimensional player, you and Andy were very disappointed in.
I haven't seen a lot the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in him. I'm not like you. I don't go
he
back on
He wasn't making
it.
Plays the way he has been so far
this year. He's proven me wrong.
What did Dante Hightower say in the preseason about?
That he wanted to rush more, and he didn't want to drop
into coverage. About.
But you know what I think he's done best? Cover.
Wait a minute.
He's killing guys in coverage.
You're dismissing what Hightower said about himself this training
No,
game.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
He said he didn't want to be used in coverage anymore.
Mm.
And you know what he's done best, in my opinion? Cover.
Yeah, well, because he's not being asked to do it as much, and he's doing it in a position where he can succeed.
Why is he not being asked to do it as much?
Because they have more confidence in the guys they have back there.
Are you watching how much he's been used around the line of scrimmage in coverage?
A lot.
Right, so why is that not
around
as much?
The line of scrimmage?
That's what he's been doing.
You don't see him getting exposed in the middle of the field like he was in years past.
Because he's doing it better.
Well, listen, if you don't think that Dont'a Hightower is being used a little differently this year than in the last 2 years, you're just not watching.
I didn't say he's not being used any differently.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying.
He has been used as a rusher, I think, a little bit more often.
Right. Why?
More like his rookie year.
Why?
Because he's better at it, Fred. No. He's playing better.
Well, how would they have known in the last 2 years if they didn't do it?
He did do it against Buffalo. That's how he got hurt his rookie year, chasing down Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Listen, they are more confident in the secondary. That allows Patricia to do more things with the guys up front.
It's all Revis.
You don't think it has anything to do with
Revis. You can't play cornerback better than Aqib Talib did the first 6 weeks last year, but none of these guys were as good as they
are now.
Whether
it's Aqib Talib or Revis, I think that allows a defense to do more things up front.
And that's fine. I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm simply telling you that Dont'a Hightower deserves the credit for how well he's playing.
I am wrong.
I was wrong about Hightower. He is showing you that he can be a playmaker, and I have no problem admitting I was wrong.
Okay.
I was wrong about him. But to give the credit to someone else because he's making plays is dismissive.
Don't think one player helps another on a defense?
They all help each other.
Of course they do.
They all help each other.
Of course they do.
But the reason why Dont'a Hightower is a better player is because he's playing better.
I think he's being used better.
I don't see a dramatic difference in that.
Well, I do. I absolutely do. I think there are.
I think that he's been asked to do a lot of things they asked him to do as a rookie that he didn't do as well as he's doing them now.
Well, I think they're taking advantage more of his versatility.
Yes, I really do. I agree. And he's always been a versatile guy.
But they haven't taken advantage of it.
Because he hasn't played as well.
No,
it's just because of Revis.
I think it's because of the defensive backfield as a whole.
You think the coverage has been that good so far?
I think it's been light years better than it...
Than it was in the first 3 weeks last year?
No, it was pretty good last year.
Right.
Yeah.
So why all of a sudden is it affecting everybody? Because Hightower's better than he was last year.
Well,
that's my point, Fred.
And you also agree that they're using him differently.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you that I've seen him do absolutely everything this year that I saw him do. I know that he's been used as a rusher. I know he's been used in coverage. I know he's been used as an inside and outside on-the-line guy.
Yeah.
I've seen him do all of those things the last 2 years. I've seen him do all those things the first three games.
He's just making plays.
He's just making more plays.
Yeah.
He's playing better.
Yeah. And I think,
is he being used dramatically? Is the percentage of when he's... Maybe, probably.
I think
you're probably right, Fred.
I think coverage helps.
Part of it, I think,
it does, but that's not the fact. He's played better.
He has.
Not just because guys are bailing him out, covering longer.
And I think part of the reason for that might be the fact that last year, coming off of his rookie year, when admittedly you have a lot to learn as a rookie, he goes down. He has to take over for Gerard Mayo as the signal caller last year, early on in the year.
So
he has to. He suddenly has more responsibility for everybody on defense, not just himself. And so now maybe at a time when he shouldn't have had to think as much, he's now having to think more.
Yeah.
And he can't maybe make as many
plays. That's a good point from last year.
And you keep saying, has he been used differently? And I said, I saw him used like this as a rookie, and I did see it last year, and that's a great point. That's why we didn't see it last year. He was playing a whole different spot.
Well,
he was playing the mic
when
Mayo went out.
I think, and I'm going to stick to it, Revis or Talib, a good cornerback makes a defense better, and it helps everybody.
Of course he does.
It helps everybody.
The good players make the whole defense better.
Right, and I think Revis is a good player.
And you know who's making the whole defense better right now?
Hightower. Yeah.
He's been their best player on defense.
I'm telling you, they would, you know how they play it close to the vest on defense, or they have in the past.
They've been playing close to the vest.
And
they couldn't play it any closer to the vest than they did on Sunday.
Most of the time, in years past, it's because they're not confident in their secondary. And I think now they are.
But do you think they blitzed on Sunday?
No.
That's close to the vest.
But that was a game plan thing with
Carr. Of course. That's my point.
Yeah. But I really do think that they, look, I think if you ask them and they are honest, the coaches I'm talking about, you know, of the last 8 years, you know, is this the most confident you've been in their secondary? And I think they'd say yes. I really do.
Yeah, I just...
In certain spots.
Yeah.
I think Logan Ryan's a better player today.
I think overall depth.
Logan Ryan's a better player today than he was last year at this time.
Yeah.
Okay? I think that Talib and Revis through three games is a wash. I think Revis is a better player than
Talib. But look
Talib,
at how much we said
but
that
so far
Talib
it's a wash.
You know, look how much we were like... Oh my God, Talib makes such a difference.
It made the secondary competitive.
Right. Revis does
didn't
the same
thing. Didn't make
the
defense good. It made the secondary competitive.
But Revis does the same thing.
And he certainly wasn't making linebackers better. He wasn't making Chandler Jones a better player.
Revis does.
Okay. Revis I don't does. See it.
I don't think they're very confident in their second safety spot.
I don't think, you know, you might, you're probably right the way they move the guys around, but I don't think they think it hurts them. I think they feel like they have a luxury back there of, you know, that one spot we have the luxury of, you know, fooling around with it, see who's going to be good for a certain game.
I think they have no idea who it is, and they're getting away with it because the defense, away with it. The other 10 guys are playing well.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
But it's just like the offensive line.
Well, yeah, but that's only the, you're only protecting the other, Brady there.
No, I mean, but the other 10 guys are playing well. The offensive line, there's four other guys in addition to the one or two that they're not sure of that aren't playing well.
No, I know.
Solder is not playing
well. But I think you can get away with it at the safety position where if your line's not playing well, you're going to lose. Because you just can't do anything. You can't run the ball. You can't pass the ball. So.
Now that we've settled that.
Good stuff.
And you know, before you open tomorrow's show by saying that I think the defense has been terrible in the first half, that's not the case. I think the defense has played great.
But
I'm not looking. Asking me what I think of them as a whole. And I don't know yet. You do.
No.
You're not wrong, Fred. You think that you know that they're good. I don't because I haven't seen it yet against quality opponents. But what I've seen so far has been excellent.
Let me ask you this question.
Excellent.
Do you think they can be good against good opponents?
Yes.
Okay.
Do I think they will be? No.
What do you mean by that?
Because I haven't seen it yet.
I understand.
It's been almost a decade since I've seen them have a good defense.
Okay, but it'd be one thing if you think they can be, but I'm just not sure. But you're saying...
You want to know one of the biggest things?
You're saying they will not be good against good defenses.
He says he wants to see it.
But he just said, I don't think they will.
Because he hasn't...
But
it's
just a guess. I'm just going... You know how you know why I think the offense is going to be good? Because they've been good for a decade, and I think they'll figure it out. You know why I don't think the defense will be good? They've been bad for a decade, and I don't think they'll figure it out. It's the same thing.
Okay. So why is that? Is it because...
I'm going off of history that you told me I can't ignore.
So are you saying that Hightower doesn't make enough of a difference and...
If he can do it against good teams, then yes.
If he can do this all year and do this against
then
good teams,
make a
too,
big difference.
And the good quarterbacks can't find a way to exploit the different things that they're doing, then I'll sit here just like I said about Hightower, and I'll say I was wrong. This defense has improved. They have the 7 first-round picks. They have infused a little youth and athleticism. Collins is making people better. Chandler Jones is coming into his own. Hightower's in his prime.
That would be great.
But you doubt it. And that's fine.
I need
to see
it first.
I'm not even saying
doubt is probably even too strong a word.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it yet, Fred.
Right.
I just haven't seen it against good teams.
The jury is still out.
That's all I'm saying. And what I've seen through these three games has been two very good games and one really bad one.
The first one.
Yeah.
Really bad one.
Yeah. Really bad.
Against a really bad offense.
Yeah. Well, I understand, but I think there were other circumstances.
Against an offense that was so bad that the guy is hanging on to his job by a thread.
Yeah, I think a lot of good teams go down to Miami early in September and throw up stinkers.
Kansas City didn't.
You know, and throw up stinkers.
Team
I really
playing this week did pretty well down there.
You know, history tells us that that's the fact.
This team
but history
has trouble
tells
going
you
down.
Miami has not been very good anywhere.
No, I know.
For the last 5 years,
they pull these games out early. You know, they don't lose every game every year.
No, no,
and they don't always lose. They don't always just beat.
But
bad
when you're
teams.
Not a very good team, you. Usually you do just beat bad teams.
Look, the Patriots had a 10-point lead and they wilted. They wilted.
Yeah.
But it's not like they played really well defensively in that game.
No, they played terribly.
Okay.
They couldn't tackle.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
They couldn't tackle. It was awful.
That's all I'm saying.
It was awful.
Listen.
And yet they still almost gave them offense a chance at the end.
What I promise you I won't do is I won't say yeah, but. I promise you I won't. If they have these really good performances against teams like Denver – in Green Bay, and San Diego, in Indy, I promise you, I won't say yeah, but unless their quarterbacks don't play those games.
Okay, and I promise that I won't make an excuse about injuries.
This tape, Kevin.
About injuries, unless it's three or more.
Oh no.
But the
injury thing last year was valid. For they lost. They lost. No, Fork, Mayo,
what
Tommy
I'm saying,
Kelly.
If a guy like Hightower goes down, but it's just high, I won't make that an excuse.
No one, but like I'm saying, if I won't say yeah, but, you know, James Starks didn't play for Green Bay.
Right.
If Aaron Rodgers plays and Andrew Luck plays and Peyton Manning, and then they're all healthy.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they're going to have guys not play in the game that are playing right now. I mean, no one goes through without injuries.
Right.
But I'm not going to just sit there and say, well, yeah, they moved the ball up and down the field. They just didn't score.
Right.
Okay. Which we know is probably going to happen. They're probably going to get like 450 yards of offense, but only end up with about 24 points.
Yeah. I mean, you know, whether it's garbage time or not, you look at these stats and these losing teams, and often the quarterback's got 350 yards passing. And that's why you need your eyeballs.
Yeah, because a lot of those yards are coming in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
I would say
sometimes they are.
I would say these last two games, my eyeballs told me the Patriots played well in defense. I would say that.
Okay.
Regardless of opponent, they played well.
All right.
That's why I didn't say they need to be better than that. Never said that. They've played well.
Nick says that was the best argument ever. All right.
Wow.
That's why we
did. Well, I'll say this. You guys, sometimes you get on us for arguments, but that was a purely football argument.
Yeah. Sure.
It wasn't one of our stupid tangent things. It was all football all the time.
And it didn't get personal either.
And I just want to tell you that I was very I was arguing on the behalf of a Patriot.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right? I was arguing on behalf of Dante Hightower. Fred was giving all the credit to Revis.
And Tim says, have you guys ever come to blows? No, we haven't.
No, because it's just sports.
No. You might have thrown something once.
Really?
No.
No?
At you?
Or, no, maybe you threatened to throw something at Andy.
Oh, we do that all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how could I miss that hit?
Right.
I could throw it right now and still hit him in Dartmouth.
Let's see. The show dropped for a bit, but it's back.
It's probably because I had a coronary in the middle there.
Let's see.
Now my throat's all scratchy.
Why don't we go to the phones? Let somebody else do some talking. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas.
Hey,
Dan.
G'day.
What's up?
Far be it from me to step in the way of an epic argument there. I mean, look for a while there that Fred was going to treat Paul like Richie Campanella.
Yeah. That's a good call. He was mad. Fred was mad at me. He had the eye roll.
Was it Ron Robinson?
He had the eye roll going at one point. Then he gets all incredulous. See, I'm just like that all the time. So, what's up, Dan? I'm sorry.
Just no problem, mate. Just a couple of comments and a question or two. Just on the game, this obviously wasn't the emphatic victory that I said the Pats needed on the pregame show on Sunday. I mean, those Vince Wilfork interceptions are supposed to be a humorous display of how badly the Pats have beaten the other team, rather than preventing the reason why that Pats Nation doesn't jump off the ledge after a game. But speaking about the pregame show, I don't want to rile Paul up again, but I got some caller on host crime on the pregame show on Sunday. I don't know, maybe someone forgot to put the whiskey in Paul's Pepsi Max, but you casually shut down my contention that the AFC East isn't as bad as everyone thinks.
Yeah, I think it's pretty bad. I do remember that, Dan.
Yeah, well, I went through and I tallied up. I mean, this is how much of a life I have. I went through.
Let me guess. The other three teams have a good record against other teams.
Yeah, I was surprised. I went up and tallied all the win-loss records by division from 2002 to 2013. That's how exciting my life is. And when you add it all up, the AFC East, I was surprised to find, actually comes out on top. Not only is it sort of a good record, it's actually out of all the divisions that comes out with the most wins from that period.
Yeah, and I just want to know what that means.
Yeah,
I mean, well, I mean,
because I've heard a lot of people give me that stat, and I'm not really sure what it means.
But yeah, what does your eyeball tell
you? Well,
I know.
If it's 2 years ago, the out of division record for the AFC East was the best.
Right, but I don't understand what that means.
Well, I guess my argument is that if the division that the Pats were in was really as powder puff as everyone says that it is, and that was the reason why the Patriots made it to the playoffs every year, then surely the other divisions would have better win records.
And I would counter with this. If the Patriots division was as good as that record would say, wouldn't they have more playoff teams than the other divisions?
No, because the Patriots give them two automatic losses pretty much every year. So
Wait. They beat everybody else.
Right.
There should be. More wild card teams from the AFC.
If Buffalo was beating everybody else on a consistent basis, they shouldn't have gone since 1999 without being in the playoffs.
But I think, for example, you know, before the NFC West got good, you'd look at your schedule, go, oh, NFC West, we're going to beat up on them. But that wasn't the fact. That wasn't the point with the AFC East teams.
Yeah, but that's never been the fact with the North and the South. The North and the South has always been good.
Oh, North and – well, it's not the South. You had the Colts, but what after them?
Okay, the Titans, two different times, were the number one seed.
No, but
the Jaguars were 12-win wild card teams on a consistent basis.
Those are isolated seasons within that.
Right, and give me the isolated season within the AFC East. I'll just accept one. I think the Jets went 11-5 once. Once.
No, but it's not overall record. It's
yeah. Well, that's what these. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's the record. If they were beating everybody else, they should be better than everybody else.
Yeah.
But we know they're not.
But what if they beat up each other and that kind of negates, you know?
Well, what do you think the other teams are doing?
No,
what do you think? What do you think?
Usually,
what do you think Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati and Cleveland were doing over the last 10 years?
But that's a true stat, Paul. I mean, that stat isn't.
But it's misleading, is what I'm telling you.
No, but I'm just trying. No, it might be misleading. But how does that stat happen? I mean, they have
because the other teams are better, and they are beating each other up.
Okay, that could be. That could be.
I think the AFC
East. That's an answer.
Yeah. Listen, the Patriots. For some reason, Patriots fans take the fact that people say that they're in a weak division as if to say that they're not very good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I
think it's the opposite. I think people say that they're in a weak division to show that the Patriots aren't that good.
No, but I'm saying that's not necessarily fact. The Patriots play the teams in the other divisions, and they beat them all.
But I think people use it as a negative against the Patriots. Oh, they play in that powder puff AFC East. No wonder they're always in first place. You know people do that.
Anyhow.
But I think that part of it is a fact. It is a powder puff division.
But is that a slight on the
Patriots?
How
many other divisions in football have had a team since 1999 that hasn't made the playoffs? That's two guaranteed wins every single year. Every year.
Yeah.
No other division has that. But I know when you go outside of the division, they have this great record. They stink. Buffalo is not a good team. And if they were a good team, then just once by accident. Cleveland Browns won 10 games a couple years ago in like 2007. By accident, you have one good year. They haven't had a winning season since 1999.
I mean, Fred, you've seen all these AFC East teams
but I
in
think,
person.
Well,
have there been very many good AFC East teams?
No, but I think the other thing is, and this is not to back up either Dan or Paul's point, but I think in a lot of these other divisions, you get a lot of 2-14 teams. Or, you know, the bottom team is like 2 wins, 3 wins. That doesn't happen in the AFC East a lot. You know, the worst team has.
No,
like,
instead you have 3-6-10s.
Well, that's what. But they have more wins, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's misleading.
Right.
You're making my point.
Cumulatively, they have more wins, and it is misleading.
And I did it again. This is exactly what I did to Dan in the pregame show. I hijacked his call. So I apologize for that.
That's okay. I'll just get on to my questions then. You know, everyone seems to identify the O-line as a problem. Yesterday. You guys seem actually surprised that the O-line was a problem, but I kind of thought that there was concerns last year that we.
I don't think we were surprised.
I'm surprised it's as bad as it is.
Yeah, it's been this bad. Right.
But I wasn't. You know,
I'm surprised Jordan Devey is playing.
I wrote, and we all said, in camp that boy, you know, that's the interior. It's up for grabs.
Yeah.
We didn't know who was going to play. Now I thought that Klein was going to be that, you know, solid guy.
Yeah,
I
agree.
But who knew that Mankins was going to leave at that time? But even
said
the
problem with that is
the
they knew.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the problem
well,
with
knew.
That. They
yeah.
knew,
so,
and it didn't
yeah.
seem like they prepared
for it. Unfortunately, Klein caught Harmon syndrome and fell out of the
That's a good one.
Yeah. But anyhow.
That's a great analogy, great comparison.
But so we've all seemed to have settled on the O-line as a problem. We know what the problem is and knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
Excellent.
But so my question is, are there any available personnel out there that you could see them grabbing for the O-line? And not only for the O-line, running backs as well. I mean, you got what you got in Ridley and Vereen, but I still can't understand why Bolden is on the team. Mm. I mean, surely there's someone, Law Firm or Seastrunk or even Gray off the Pats Patriots squad. I mean,
yeah, Gray will be coming up.
They could give you maybe something a little more than Bolden.
But do you think they feel like they need another running back?
I'd rather
because they've had one inactive all 3 weeks.
Or what? But he just somehow sticks around on the team despite not really doing a whole heck of a lot.
He plays a lot of special teams.
Yeah, I don't like I don't like Bolden either, Dan. I'm with you on that. But I think that they don't feel like they need to run the running back, or they would have James White active.
No, that's
obviously, yeah. That,
Ridley and Vereen are healthy and producing enough that I don't think they really need anybody else.
Yeah, it's the O-line, O-line, O-line.
Yeah.
And if they did, I would want to see James White and what he can do.
Yeah.
I don't care who you put in there. If you can't block, they're not going to do well.
Yeah. So on that, is there anyone out there that I could grab, anyone sort of who's free right now that they can
offensive line, I mean, the guy you hear all the time is Incognito. And
yeah, I personally want no part of it. Stork's going to play center. You're going to move Connolly to his more natural guard position.
Yeah.
It'll be
and
fun.
Then hopefully get Cannon out of there.
Which is more natural guard position since he's never played guard until this year.
Connolly.
I mean, Cannon.
I didn't say Cannon. I said Connolly.
Okay. I said get Cannon out of there.
Well, I mean, I would say the same thing. Why is that his more natural position?
Connolly, I think he's more natural at guard.
Well, he's played it more. Right. That's the only thing.
And Stork certainly played all three. Center.
Yeah.
He's a center. So, all right.
Played all three.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan. Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier. A lot of Virginia calls today.
A lot of foreign Virginia.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So much argument. So much yelling. Can't we all get along?
I tell you, it's passion, Olivier.
There's more civil war strife in Patriots Nation than Syria right now.
I love it.
Yeah.
Again, you keep going back to those real life things. I don't like it.
You don't like it? Not comfortable with it.
All right.
What's going on?
Well, how's your leg?
It's getting better. Thank you, Olivier.
No crutches today.
Somewhat pain-free, a little stiff, but we're getting better.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Welcome back.
Thanks.
The question I had for you is, you know, everyone has an argument to say, yeah, we're having some issues during the season, but they will figure it out and they will get better because of what we look from a historical perspective. Now, with the history that you have and the analysis that you have that you've done and what you've witnessed with the team, have you seen that this year we have the same talent or we have less of a talent or more talent compared to the other year for us to be able to say that, yes, we're going to get better? Is it worse or is it better or is it the same?
See, if it wasn't for the offensive line, I'd be all in. This is definitely going to get better because I think on defense it's better in terms of experience and talent. And I think on offense, it's been the same. So it shouldn't get any worse. But the offensive line is the X factor there. That's the thing that could screw up everything.
I agree with that, and I would say that the talent isn't as high as it's been.
Yeah.
On offense?
The team. He asked for the team.
Oh, but I thought you were just comparing to last year.
Last year they made it to the AFC. They're not
gym.
As talented as they were last year.
As a team.
Overall.
The offensive line counts. That counts. Yeah. You took Logan Mankins off of a line that was already struggling.
Well, I said that the offensive line is the X factor.
I know.
Forget about offensive line.
No. I won't forget about that.
No, but aside from them, it's on offense, it's the same. And it could be better if Gronk can play a whole season, right?
But we got to protect Brady.
I know. I think you also lost Blunt.
You know,
who was a big part of the offense last year.
I'm coming to the
800 yards.
I didn't realize you were there.
But 400 of them came in two games.
I don't care. Who's getting those 400 yards in these two games?
Will Ford.
As long as we're taking a rational look at it.
All right.
But you can't just say other than the offensive line. Mrs. Lincoln.
But they're gonna get that figured out. Let's go to Noel in Denver, who's been hanging on for close to an hour. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great show today. You guys are alive. I know that.
Good. You're not. It sounds like you're in a tin can.
Where are you calling from?
Timmy? Is there trouble, Timmy?
Classy.
What's that called?
Okay.
Speakerphone.
Better?
Yeah, much
better. A
little
bit. Yep.
Okay, no problem. I'd be happy to take you.
There we go.
It's just been there a long time. Yeah, I went to the Blake Street Tavern once again. They had a lot of Boston firefighters out here in a memorial, and it was a great day there. A great Sunday with a whole bunch of Pat fans to watch the game with. But I look at the new rules, and I have a question for you guys. And I look at the new rules, and I see that Denver scored 45 points a game at this time last year, and they're down to 20-something. And I want to know what your feeling is about the new rules and why teams aren't scoring more because of it.
Well, we talked about that earlier in the show. You know, not just the Patriots, but all defensive backs might be kind of feeling out the refs at this point, you know, not really knowing what's going to be allowed and maybe kind of playing it safe based on what they were called in the preseason. So that might be a factor. It might be.
I don't know the answer as to why the points seem to be down.
The other question I have.
But that's fat. I mean, Green Bay, New Orleans, New England,
San Fran,
Denver, teams that we think of having pretty good offenses have not
yeah.
not lived not up to the hype.
Points, yeah.
I have one more question, and it's about the guy that said that Belichick doesn't draft very well. I think the defense is really heading in the right direction. But like, if we look at the offensive receivers, watching that game Monday night and seeing what Cutler has with Jeffries and Marshall, I would like to ask the last question. This question here is, do you feel that if we had gone after someone like Jeffries and Marshall, that they would pick up the offense better than Ocho Cinco did?
I would hope so. I mean, these guys are just such pure talents. They're closer to Moss than mm-hmm. they are Ocho Cinco, especially in Ocho Cinco's stage of the career that he got here, where they can just go run down the field, put their hand up, and Brady will get him the ball.
I just don't know if Brady would throw the ball to him.
Well,
I don't.
He did to Moss.
Yeah, he did.
You know?
Then why don't we go
on? A lot longer list of guys that he wouldn't throw it to.
I know, but when you have a guy like of that talent, I think Brady would. I would hope he
would. Well, those guys don't have Moss's talent. Just so you know.
But they're big, tall, athletic receivers. They can
kind of like Aaron Dobson? 6'3".
I don't even think he's in the same category as Jeffries and Marshall.
A lot of people thought that Aaron Dobson was better than Alshon Jeffries.
Well, I don't know. I'm not one of them.
They were both second-round picks. They were similarly thought of. Size, strength, speed.
Well, I'm not one of them. I mean, maybe Dobson someday goes to
I don't think team. That. I mean, yeah. I didn't think Alshon Jeffries was going to be as good in the pros as he was. I thought he was kind of a disappointment at South Carolina, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, listen, he's been phenomenal in the pros. I just don't know if Brady would throw him the ball.
Thanks, guys. Just let's win on Sunday.
All right,
Noel. We gotta wrap this
up. Yeah, we do have to wrap it up. People on the line, stay on the line.
Full phone banks over there,
stay on the line. The playbook is coming up with John Rook.
Chief, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
We also have a full mailbox full of emails that we didn't get to. So maybe you can do that as well.
We're kind of stacked today, too, Fred.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Fred and I just got into a 20-minute brouhaha.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Over?
We were talking about Hightower and Revis, and I was saying how good I thought Hightower was, and he was giving more of the credit to Revis for making Hightower better, and I was saying Hightower deserves the credit, and we were yelling at each other. And one of the rarities, it wasn't one of us saying something was wrong. It was both of us saying things were right.
Right.
But
and technically,
who was responsible for it?
I think there are things right about your argument on both sides, but I think you're right. I think you do need to set the two aside. Hightower is the one that deserves the kudos. Revis, and you've seen probably the Pro Football Focus numbers that suggest he's middling.
Yeah,
but you haven't seen those yet.
I don't know if he's close.
Go by the eye test. I don't like to look at the PFF stuff.
Honestly, I
just don't. I don't really believe it. I go by the eye test, and is he the back that we saw a couple of years ago or 3 or 4 years ago? No.
Yeah, but does he give confidence to Matt Patricia, for example, to be a little bit more aggressive on defense?
He might
use Hightower little bit better than he has in
He
years
absolutely
past.
Might, which is why you're both correct. That's absolutely correct. And we're going to talk about, you know, numbers and how they may or may not
John knows cause
be
he's
a part
from
of
Texas.
Things. Yeah, that's
all about football.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, John, have a good show. We got to get going. We will see you tomorrow. Picks tomorrow. I think I'm winning as usual. We'll see you.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.